Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, this is our new time slot. We are running 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard now on our Thursday night shows. If you want to find out more about our show and a number of other shows that are now running under Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. I want to thank everybody for all the great feedback we've been getting and all the great ideas that have been coming in. We, as you know, we're always looking to bring in new exciting guests and everything like that, and tonight is no different. We have a great person with us this evening, but before I get to that, let me bring in my host, Pam. Are you there?
I am, Mark. Good evening. How are you tonight?
Good, good. Hey, Pam, tell everybody about your show. Your show has really been bringing some really solid teaching and knowledge to the world and everything like that. Why don't you talk about your show for a minute?
Well, thank you. I have a Monday evening show at 8 o'clock. It's called Pamela Latour's Secrets of the Soul. And basically every week we cover a different subject, some relating to more esoterical sort of things like remote viewing, some very practical things. This last week we did the power to change reality, which was really, I think, a fascinating subject. Anyway, it's every night, every Monday night at 8 o'clock, and tune in if you're available.
Yeah, and just to remind everybody, if you missed any of my shows or any of the other shows that are running or Pam's shows, you can find those by going to the same link off of the Spiritual Connections Radio website. There's a link to get to the Blog Talk. And from there, all the shows are available for replay. So you can go back and listen to any of those shows. You can download them to iTunes. You can bring down MP3s, all kinds of stuff. So all of that is available to you.
Great. Well, let's talk about our guest tonight. We have with us tonight a woman by the name of Kathy J. Forte, who is a clinical psychologist for over 20 years, and she's experienced in trauma, neurofeedback, dissociative identity disorders, which I'm sure she'll tell us about, and energy medicine work. Now, I really don't know anything about this. I'm in the same position as the listeners tonight, so I can't wait to get right to it. Kathy, are you there? Welcome.
Yes, hi, Pam. Pamela?
Hi. Hi.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
No, we're so glad to have you. So I can't wait to find out about this. Tell us how you got involved in this type of work, first of all.
Well, actually, which type of work? Because I'm involved in lots of different work. But I think what Mark asked me about was my near-death experience and the technology that I brought back from the near-death experience we are now using, worldwide. So that experience happened back in May of 2003. I had a clinical psychology practice in Los Angeles area where I reside now. And, I was just leaving work one day, and I felt this something actually leave my body out of my solar plexus area, like a big whoosh. And with that came this profound sense of, you know, emptiness and feeling like I was done with my work here. And I didn't know what that meant. And I thought, am I getting ready to die? And I thought, well, if I'm not, this is not going to feel good. So I was thinking about this. I went home thinking about this. And then all of a sudden, as I was thinking about this, I suddenly saw this swirling vortex in my head, and I was sucked into this tunnel, and I was horizontal, a seat first, and I was traveling at a really high rate of speed, and I could see light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, I'd heard about this tunnel, and of course my first thought was, did I just die? And if I died, what did I die of? I wasn't ill. And you know, but there's not much you can do if you think, okay, I'm dead. Let's go see what this is all about. This is my experience. And you know, I didn't feel fearful. I just was kind of, you know, very curious at that point. But before I could get into the light, I was stopped in that tunnel. And no matter what I did, and believe me, I, you know, tried to wheel myself forward and so forth, I could not move. I just hovered there. And, you know, I had the thought occurred to me that, you know, as being frustrated that I couldn't move, I thought to myself, this is boring. You know, why am I being stopped in this tunnel and I'm not allowed to go into the light? And with that thought of this is boring, all this energy just poured into me. It was like an implosion in my whole cellular structure, or what I believed was my cellular structure at the time. And I got spun back around with that explosion of energy, and I was sent back through the tunnel as fast as could be, same way, and voices in my head were telling me to breathe, Kathy, breathe. Next minute, I found myself back in my physical body, and my whole left side was paralyzed. Couldn't move. I was alone, and voices in my head were telling me to breathe easy, don't worry. And as I listened to them, I could feel them reconnecting like puzzle pieces, my whole left side, click, 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 click into place. And, you know, I knew, even though I had no proof of it, I knew that for some reason my heart had stopped, and these voices were getting me to breathe life back into my physical form. I didn't understand that, why this was happening at the time, but basically, you know, I was concerned about my heart, if my heart had indeed stopped, and I could feel a slight pressure in that area. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm going to have to see doctors now and cardiologists, and you know, the voices I was hearing were pretty much saying, don't worry, you don't have to see any doctors, you will be okay, just breathe easy. And of course, you know, I often joke with people, I say, you know, when you're a psychologist and you're hearing voices in your head, you know, it's not the most comforting thing. I certainly worked with enough of those clients, and, you know, now I was in that category. But, you know, as I say, you know, to make a long story short, within 24 hours after returning to my physical body, I was just obsessed with quantum physics. I was, you know, getting up every night and all these thoughts about all these interdimensional things and physics equations, and things were in my head. And this was between 3 and 4 a.m. every morning, and I could not rest. It was like relentless until I got up, got out of bed, actually went to my computer and looked up what I was hearing and seeing in my head. And the interesting thing was, I was understanding what I was reading, and it was sort of like somebody was getting me up to speed in physics 101. Now, granted, physics was not my subject in school. You know, science wasn't my subject in school. And the interesting thing was that they were correcting things on the internet that I was reading, you know, as if to say, well, this is not totally accurate, but that's as far as your race has gotten so far. And, you know, this was going on night after night, and I wasn't tired the next morning, but I realized that when I was seeing clients, I was starting to feel everybody's stuff, you know, all their emotions and things like that, which I hadn't before. And, you know, that was a little disconcerting, you know, because I didn't know what to do with that. And as I'm getting to the end here, so I called a friend of mine, a very gifted medical intuitive, and he'd helped me on difficult cases, psychology cases in the past. With the client's permission, he could kind of go behind the scenes and look and see what was going on with the person, and he never wanted to know anything about them except their name. So I just said, I called him, and I said, I'd like you to just take a look behind the scenes at what's going on with me, because I hadn't told him what had happened. And he took a very long time coming back before he said, well, this is really interesting. You almost died. But the interesting thing is all your old guidance is gone, and that was that whoosh I felt when I was leaving work that day and feeling that emptiness immediately afterwards. You know, I didn't even know I had all these guides there, and I didn't know that once they leave, you know, you feel like you've lost your whole family. And he said, but you have a whole new set of guides now. And he says, and they're very technologically oriented and almost kind of geeky. And the first words out of my mouth were, well, what do they want? And he says, well, they're showing me this was a pre-contract when you came into this life. You had planned to do this at this particular junction, and that you're supposed to invent some type of medical device or some type of technology that deals with the way people think about healing. And, you know, I thought he had lost his mind when he said this, because I thought, this doesn't sound like my life. I said, I don't know anything about inventing or electronics or medical devices. And he says, this is what they're showing me. And he says that they will help you and be instrumental in pointing to the people who also will help you in this. And so I just kind of, you know, thought that he'd lost his mind. Okay, his batting average of accuracy had been pretty good up until that point, but I didn't see this happening in my life. And so, you know, I just tried to let it go. But, you know, that old movie, you know, with Rock, I'm dating myself here, with Rock Hudson and Jane Wyman, A Magnificent Obsession? That's what it became for me. I could not let go of it. And I started getting information coming down about our universe and mathematics and, you know, what was involved, and that behind everything in our universe was math. And that our DNA was mathematically coded. Now, this is back in 2003. We've all learned a lot since that time, but that everything has a mathematical signature to it, and that we needed to speak to it in a language it understood, which is math. And, you know, I kind of, you know, thinking about this, thinking math, oh, my God, math was my worst subject in school. You know, I might have gotten a Ph.D. in clinical psychology, but, you know, with my graduate records exam when I was getting my master's degree, I just eked by on the math component, because that was like a foreign language to me. I did not have the math gene. So, you know, to hear that, you know, it was all about math, of course love too, but math, you know, that you could give information to the body in a faster way that would talk directly to the consciousness of the cells. And, you know, they kind of talked about frequency as being something that we were used to that was like, you know, Hertzian waves, you know, cycles per second. But this newer form, what they called non-Hertzian wave, which is subtle energy, is all, you know, there's a big mass component to it. So I, you know, they're telling me, and I'm seeing this in images, I'm hearing it in words, and sometimes I'm having whole download of concepts come through on how to start to mathematically code things like even vitamin C and give that information to the body. So that was kind of, you know, to give you a little heads up on what initially happened. I mean, that's a kind of a short version of a very, very long story. You know, that began my whole journey into to working with them on the technology they wanted to bring forth.
And what do you call this technology? I'm sure you've developed it. Am I right?
In fact, it took 5 years to develop. 5 years where I thought I was probably going crazy. I didn't tell any of my friends what I was doing. I had to retire my practice at the time because my whole life was being taken in a different direction. And, you know, I didn't want people to worry about, oh, poor Kathy, she's lost her mind. She's trying to invent something that doesn't make much sense. It's two words together. It's Trinity and Infinity merged into Trinfinity and the number 8. You know, it was very clear of what they wanted it to be called. And in fact, it was a technology that that was used in ancient times. It's just packaged in a different format with our new computers now. You know, and I say new only because that in the last 20 years they were showing me that this was an intentional thing, the explosion in our technology and computer age and so forth like that, that we needed to have information and instruments that would help us process large amounts of information quickly. we are in the information age, and so it was only natural that a step for some type of inventions like computers and processing things would come into play, and it just went wild. That was all pre-planned from what I was told. And basically, that what they were trying to do is they said, you know, everything in your world is moving very, very quickly. Energy is moving fast. People's thoughts and ideas are manifesting quicker. You know, the world is at a faster pace. It's not our imagination. And, you know, be careful of what you think because you're going to manifest it even faster now. And they said people were having a hard time navigating this, you know, faster energetic field and world, and that some people, not because they were having a difficult time, were either maybe getting chronically ill because of how that energy might feel chaotic to them, or some were like checking out of the planet to feel like maybe they didn't want to be around during this particular time of change, or other people were making huge, like 180 degree, you know, changes in their life. And they said for those who would stay during this time, this we are in a critical evolutionary point. They said this back since 2003, that, you know, this happens like every 26,000 years and so forth. And they said we, you know, we're evolving right now, and that there would be devices that would come down to help people shift into a higher, or at least make it easier for them to shift into a higher vibrational state where then all healing and rejuvenation was possible. The body could do what it was meant to do naturally, and it would help to loosen some of that, what I call gunk, you know, barriers, obstacles, emotional stuff, garbage that gets in our way, and prevents us from, you know, realizing our whole, you know, ideal self. So this was, like I said, this was the beginning of the process for them. And, I'd still joke to this day and say, you know, the fastest route to insanity is to write a software-based program. I have great empathy, you know, for some of those software giants out there and how difficult it is. And that was just me and, you know, a programmer. I, you know, had to do it all, and I didn't think I could do any of this, you know. And there were times I thought, oh, I'm supposed to go see, I'm supposed to get to somebody else and have them help me, you know, invent this, because they're already inventors. And when I would try doing that, all the obstacles would come in, and unusual things would happen that would, I would, you know, everything would come to a screeching halt. And after this happened twice, I, you know, threw up my hands and I said, I don't know what you guys want. And they said, we want you to do this. We don't want other people to do this. We want you to do this, you know. And this, so it was a lesson in trust, because I didn't think I was capable of a project of this size and magnitude. And at the time, I had no idea the real magnitude of this project. You know, I thought, okay, I'll do a little device, maybe sell a couple here and there, and just, you know, break even, not realizing the greater where they wanted to bring it on Earth and how it could help Mother Earth as well as people in general.
Well, that's phenomenal. So this is a software, a mathematical software-based invention that is used globally. And what is it that it does exactly? I mean, do you pull
right.
it up on the internet?
Well, first of all, we have over 5,000 different substances, concepts, symbols I had never even seen before that must be ancient symbols, you know, from other times or maybe other universes, I don't know. But 1 year alone it took me to channel the information down for them on the algorithmic mathematical code for each of those different properties, like vitamin C has its own property. And if I give you the information and mathematical code for vitamin C, it will do the same thing in the body. The body will take that information as if it's actually ingested vitamin C. So I had to find a program that we could stream these thousands of different algorithms through a computer into and deliver it somehow to the body. So we had to then find a way to deliver to put it from a digital to analog signal box that hooks into your computer, and the information is streamed through this digital to analog computer. And the only reason is because, you know, the body is analog, crystals are analog, and I found a way to deliver it through pure quartz crystal rods that are attached to your computer. Nobody had ever done that before, attached pure quartz crystal. You know, and it sounded, you know, some people say, oh, how Atlantean, how New Agey of you, but they didn't know, I didn't know at the time, that the Hadron Super Collider in CERN, Switzerland, uses over 60,000 quartz crystal rods in one of their biophoton detecting or electromagnetic photon detecting devices. So already, you know, science knows that pure quartz crystal, and we're not talking gem show quality crystal, we're talking stuff that they grow in a lab from a seed crystal. So it's so crystal clear, it almost looks like glass, because the clearer the crystal is, the more it can send information through it quickly, not hold it in, and disperse it. And, you know, crystals are in all of our electronic components, whether they be computers, radios, televisions, you name it. You know, they're a way to transmit information. So it was kind of, you know, and how did they show me this? You know, I was thinking, how am I going to, I've got all these algorithm codes, how am I going to get it to the body? And they went into my head and found a picture that they knew I could relate to. And I had seen the Superman movie. And when Superman is up in the Fortress of Solitude downloading those crystals of his family's race and history and the whole thing, that's what they showed me in my head, that they crystals like that could be used to download information. So then it took me 6 months to find a lab in the world that would grow these crystals. And, you know, each one takes like a month to grow from a seed crystal. And, you know, so it was like every step of the process. And then they started to talk about, you know, that I had to use fractals and sacred geometry in this. And I didn't even know what a fractal was at that point in time. And I don't know if either of you do either, maybe do, but a fractal is like those, it's like an animated fractal that moves. It's like those Russian Petrushka dolls, a doll within a doll within a doll to infinity. If you zoom into any part of that picture, you'll get the exact replica of the whole. You know, all parts are contained in it like a hologram. And
right.
They started to let me see that fractals created an energetic field, and that if you couple them with algorithms like the mathematical codes for all of our different substances and programs and so forth like that, it could amplify that information coming through to the person receiving it. So we used it as an amplifier, not just a pretty picture, you know, that swirls and is animated and so forth. And then there was special tones and music they wanted to use. So it was like there was a four-step process in all the things that were key. You know, even the crystals had to be a certain length, they had to be a certain dimension, you know, to make it even easier to transmit information. So it was quite a journey, like I said. So you can understand why all this information is coming through fast and furious to me, and I'm thinking, this is never going to work. You know, I don't think this is going to work. This sounds too bizarre to even work. And I asked him, why didn't you just give this to a mathematician? You know, and in essence, they, you know, it was instructed to me because they said if we had given it to a mathematician, it would never have gotten done. They would have overanalyzed it to death. And in fact, since I was kind of a math dummy, you know, I didn't know the right questions to ask to saying that I don't think that'll work. So... But, you know, when I first debuted this technology at the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine, and this was in Denver, and this is a research organization that deals with nothing but subtle energy, and I was led to bring it there. And I'd never done, you know, a conference trade show in my life. Here I am, a clinical psychologist, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a booth there. I'm going to put it out and see if this works at all. I have no idea. So I just invited people to try it, and the response I got was just so overwhelming. The people were coming over very excitedly, some of the board members from this organization, and they were talking and seeing what was going on around the person. You know, they could see things coming out of the person while they were on it, and I can't see that. I can feel some of that, but I can't see it. And what they were saying was like, oh, we're seeing sharding coming out of the body now. And I'd look at see what program was playing. It was balance, and it was release emotional blockages. And then they said, oh, now we're seeing this beautiful, almost like rainbow plumping coming out of the body. And I'd look over to see what was playing on the Trinfinity 8, and it was balanced energy centers. And they had told me that Elmer Green, who started this organization and who was also instrumental in starting the Menninger Institute in Topeka, Kansas, the psychiatric institute there, said many years ago to them that he had seen this technology in the future and that he wanted to start this organization so that when it did arrive, whenever it did arrive, that there would be a supportive forum to open and be there for it. And I thought, isn't that interesting? I was led to debut it at this particular show, not knowing any of this. And they said, we have been waiting for this. I mean, as soon as we saw this, we knew this is what he had been talking about.
Wow.
So I invited people to get on it and, you know, see what their experiences were. And, you know, people were coming off experiencing everything from, you know, feeling totally connected to talking to dead spirits to someone, you know, because we had programs on it for everything from, you know, dealing with physical issues, dealing with emotional release issues, dealing with stress reduction, ones that dealt with spiritual attunement, and others that dealt with more cosmetic rejuvenation, anti-aging component things. So there was something in there for everyone. So, you know, one woman comes back and said, oh, the skin tag came off of, you know, that my, and it dissolved off my face. And all I kept thinking to myself was, oh, thank God that button works. Or somebody would coming back and saying, oh, wow, the deep sleep button, I really, really slept well last night. And I usually, you know, I usually have a hard time getting to sleep. Or one man was on and he was crying and he got off and I was really concerned. I said, are you okay? And he said, well, this was really interesting. He said, I'm a medical intuitive. And he said, when I got on the device, all of my own guidance came forward and was using it to help tune my psychic abilities, like a radio dial, channeling, tuning into the finest, you know, to a point. And he said, then I saw all these beings of light behind the device that were instrumental in helping with this device. Now, this man did not know anything about the development of this Trinfinity 8. And he said, and then I saw this man come forward who identified himself as your father. And he said he was very proud of you, and it was money well spent. Well, the interesting thing was that this man did not know was that, you know, 2 months after I'd had my experience, my father died. And within a year later, my mother died. And they left me some resources that would help in the development of this particular technology. So when I heard them say that, you know, my father was, you know, that it was money well spent, I said exactly, the exact words my father probably would have used had he been alive.
Wow.
Well, we're going to go ahead and just take a quick break.
Okay.
You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, and, of course, this show is available for replay in case you missed any part of it by going to the main website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And off of that webpage, you'll see links to actually get to the radio show and Blog Talk, and, of course, all the replays are available there. With that, Kathy, why don't you go ahead and give everybody your website so that people can find out more about what we're talking about tonight.
Oh, great. It's www.trinfinity8.com, and that's TRINFINITY, and the number 8.com.
Now, before we jump into where we left off with the topics and all the great stuff we're learning, I was just kind of looking through your webpage and everything like that, and I noticed that you actually have an app for different devices. It looks like the one, I guess it's for the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and everything. There's actually an app for $3.99. What does that app do?
Well, that's kind of like a little appetizer because the main Trinfinity program has 72 different different programs available to it, and you can do lots more different things. But my guides had said not everybody, you know, may be able to get that, you know, the main program. So they thought it was very important that I put a small little appetizer device out there, so everyone would have a little bit of those codes for themselves. And we figured $3.99 anyone can afford. It has four different treatments in it, and those are energy balance, feel good therapy, you know, which has joy and abundance and so forth, and it has male libido boost and female libido boost, and both of those two contain the creative life force, you know, algorithms for that. So it's, you know, it's not just libido, it's any type of creative expression is in there. So you can use that. Obviously crystals can't be attached to it, but we have a little different delivery under there. The codes come underneath the music, which you can't hear, and you have to use your fingers on you, so you have to use earbuds to you know, to get that information coming through, and then you have to put your fingers on the screen, which actually finishes the loop, because your screen and your whole iPhone is actually a part crystal as well. So people can get that for the iPad version, iPhone. Those are pretty good. And we've had some people have some really interesting experience just on that little appetizer app. It's Trinfinity 8 Energy on the Go. That's what it's called.
That's really cool.
It is very cool. Well, the next thing I was going to do is ask her, for those people that haven't looked at the website yet, exactly what this technology looks like. Because Dr. Kathy, you referred to being on it or being off of it, and you know, anyone that hasn't actually seen this has no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
so
remember, it can be put into a computer, any Mac or PC. You know, everybody has a Mac or a PC, and it's software that can be loaded onto your computer that comes with hardware attachments, digital to analog box, cables, and, of course, those quartz crystals, which delivers it, which you put in your hands, or people sometimes use it on different parts of their body. They can also put it on meridians of their body. So we have a number of you know, different types of modalities across the world, practitioners using it. We have a surgeon here in Beverly Hills using it for post-op surgery to speed that up tissue repair. We have, you know, homeopaths and naturopaths that also use it in conjunction with what they're doing there. Our acupuncturists say that using it in conjunction with the insertion of needles speeds up pain relief faster, especially on those very resistant-type clients. So, and, of course, we have some, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists that use it with clients to help move through emotional issues, whether it be subconscious issues or depression, anxiety. And, you know, we found that, you know, even addressing certain areas, we have this one she's marvelous. She's a holistic psychiatrist in North Carolina, and she found that using just our program that dealt with lips, and now some people would think, oh, do you mean lines around lips or so forth? But since it was called lips, we found that it energetically addressed that whole area. And when she started giving these to clients, women clients, who couldn't speak up and voice their needs, when she started, you know, putting on dialing in that program and giving to them, and they got the algorithms through the crystals, she said she noticed they all started becoming a little bit more, you know, assertive and speaking what they needed. So we found that through trial and error, there was a lot of things we did not expect to find, like we could use it on pets. We could also do long-distance treatments with it because, you know, in essence, you know, everything is wireless. Thoughts, energy transmission is instantaneous. You know, science has already started to prove this in the quantum world, and you know, so it wasn't such a leap to find, okay, can we send treatments to people long distance, and will they receive them? So, you know, we tried without telling them what times we were receiving them. We found out what their particular, you know, of course with their permission, finding out what their particular problems were, and then they would report back to us afterwards. And, you know, we found that their pain relief had lessened. They felt more calm, less anxiety, fear. Some felt, you know, revitalization of the chi. And we did it with pets as well, you know, and kind of pets working with animals is kind of beyond the placebo effect, you know, because, you know, they don't know the difference whether they're pleasing you or not getting better. So we started to have a lot of pet owners, and we have some horse farms in Australia that are using it on their horses as well. So, and then we decided, okay, what can we do using this with Mother Earth? So this was interesting. The first time we did it was with when we had the Gulf of Mexico spill. Oil spill. And so I called in a lot of our Trinfinity 8 owners from around the world, and I said, let's treat the Gulf of Mexico like it's got a compromised immune system. It's toxic. And so we dialed in different programs like stimulate immune system, detox, things like that to, you know, restore vital force, things like that would be instrumental. And within 2 days, they capped the well on it. And then we thought, okay, well, that could be a coincidence. But then when we had the nuclear spill leak at Fukushima in Japan, did the same thing. What we'd also do is we'd use a map of the area and put the crystals on the map, so forth, you know, and send that information hooked up. And when Fukushima happened, we did this exact same thing, and 2 days later, they capped that well. So we're starting to think, is there a two-day delayed effect on this? But then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, our office phone started getting calls from Japan. And there was like two or three of them, same number, no message, just kind of like static space, dead space on it. And I'm starting to think, who's calling us? And I didn't recognize the country code. I looked it up, and sure enough, it's Japan. And we didn't have anybody, an owner in Japan at that time. So I called this number, and someone on the other end spoke a little English, and I asked them, is there any particular reason why you're trying to reach our number? And they had no idea why their number was calling our number. And I like to think of it was some way of Japan saying, thank you very much, transmission received, and just we wanted to let you know that. So we kind of laugh about that. But when things happen, we try to, you know, like put on something like when we have presidential elections, we're not trying to say, you know, vote Republican or Democrat, but we'll put something on like divine alignment and say for a fair election, something that's truthful and honest and fair or so forth like that. So, you know, we can't change people's karma with it, that's for sure, but we can loosen up some gunk that may be affecting, you know, them realizing what they truly want to realize.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. Now, if I can ask you a question about the guides that gave you this work, this technology. Prior to this near-death experience, I'm assuming, and you didn't come out and say this, but what it sounded like was that prior to the near-death experience, you really couldn't hear your guides, or you really couldn't communicate like you could afterwards. Can you tell us a little bit about that and who your guides maybe are in terms of how you communicate with them? Do you just get pictures or messages or words, or how that happens?
Well, prior to my experience, you know, sometimes I'd have little, you know, gleams of intuitiveness, and so I mean we all have that, but I didn't take it as being that I had really guidance, and I didn't hear anybody talking to me. And so it was pretty clear. And if I thought there was some, you know, I, if anything, it was myself, my own thoughts. And so when this happened, I mean, I could clearly hear voice in my head, and I could clearly see pictures. and download of whole concepts that I had not had knowledge of prior to this. So, like I said, it would come in three different ways. And they did identify who they were. They said they were from the eighth dimension and beyond, and this is a dimension of pure service to servitude in Christ consciousness, and that they had been here since the beginning of time. They called themselves the Founders, that they only came during critical evolutionary points in our history, that they couldn't interfere with things, but they could give us information that might help us when we made our own decision and so forth. So, you know, it's like couldn't force this technology on anyone, but they had also told me that that I had also come during, you know, had reincarnated during parts in my past when during crucial evolutionary points as well, which is something I wasn't aware of, and that this was more of in the line of an ascension-like device. And at first I didn't understand what they really meant by that because, you know, I think of ascension, I think of, walking on water and rising up to the clouds or, you know, Jesus and, you know, on the cross or something like that. And by ascension, they meant moving from one dimension to the next, you know. Apparently at one time we were already in the fourth dimension. And we had backslid, and so we had to start again, and that's why I said every 26,000 years, and you know I don't want to get into that whole because that's a whole lecture in and of itself, but this was kind of like one of our last tries at getting it right. And it was really, really, really crucial during this time. And this had happened before during Atlantean times. It had happened before during Akhenaten times in Egypt. And once again, we were really kind of trying to get it right, not using the crystals, not using, you know, energy and codes to, you know, bring us down to destroy our planet, but to try and raise the vibration of it. And, you know, we can all look around and see how crazy things are these days, and they seem to be even getting crazier. So it's sort of like the last dying gasps, before we can really let go of some of the old ways and move into some of the newer, more higher vibrational ways, which is, you know, these are pretty exciting times, I think, to be alive. They can be very difficult and challenging, but at the same time, exciting.
Beautiful. Can I tell you a real quick story?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I'd love to hear stories now.
The reason this is so immensely fascinating for, I'm sure it's fascinating for everyone, but for me specifically, is because many years ago, back in the early 80s, I was working on a biofeedback program to trace past lives, and I had very clear memories of many of my past lives. Well, there was one past life where I remember being a very old woman and living in this, I won't get into great detail, but I had this room at the top of this very large building. And in this room, it was made of stone, and there was a table, and I used it for healing. And I bring people in there and lay them on the table, and there was a organ, but instead of, you know, the normal pipe organ, there were these massive crystals coming out of the organ. And when you played the organ, you would have sound moving through the crystals, creating light and changing the body, really completely, whatever the problem was, completely rebuilding that part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been so fascinating for me. And this really aligns with the technology that I remember directly.
Well, we're changing from carbon-based beings to more crystalline beings, and we're starting to respond even more to crystals, you know. And my guides had brought in that they said it was really important for music as well. So they told me about these ancient tones that we had for very many years, and I found that they were actually called Silvegio tones. And each of these tones, if you this is the only thing that's frequency-based in Trinfinity 8, is the music. And the music helps sets up a resonance in the energy centers of the body. So when the codes come through, there's a receptivity, a greater receptivity and flow. And, you know, in general, music is a carrier wave of information as well. So this was perfect, you know, that music should be a component besides, you know, the fractals and the crystals and the codes and everything else. And we had one man on the device once, and he said to us, he got off and he said, "I did not think I would see this technology again for many lifetimes." He said he was shocked that it's now. And
there are some of us that remember it.
Yes, there are some of us that, in fact, people have gotten on the device and say, "I do remember this. I remember this very clearly. It's in a different package, but it has the same intent behind it." And, you know, something I didn't mention before is that my guides had put something into the device that would actually amplify the intent of the person using the device. And by that they said, you know, so it's a lot of times when we get people on, we say, invite your own higher guidance to come in with you and ask them to help you release whatever it is you're working on releasing. Because unless you ask, they can't help you. And we had a colleague bring this to a near-death experiencers conference, the Trinfinity Technology, and she said, you know, all they knew was that it had come from another person who'd had a near-death experience, and they were getting on the device, and they were getting off, and they were really excited because they said, oh, their own guides had come forward. They were really excited. They were asking, can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? And, you know, what is your intent for this? So, you know, a lot of times when we get on and we just type in the name, what we want to name the protocol we're giving the person, I'll oftentimes type in their name or have them type in the name and then make an I am statement afterwards, like I am divine or I am healed, I am strong or I am powerful, I am what I am in general, you know, creates a whole energetic field too. So it's setting the tone and the affirmation for the program that the person will play or the protocol, so forth, for that particular session. And, you know, we find that sometimes things, you know, disappear in one session, and sometimes some may take as much as 10 sessions, depending on how stubborn or resistant it is. But we find that pain relief usually is good for one or two sessions, you know. And sometimes if people are at that point in their life and they are ready to change, and there's no, you know, obstacles, then we see miracles happen. And, you know, this can happen in anything. It's not just saying Trinfinity 8. But, you know, when a person is ready to come to them saying, I'm open to healing, and I'm ready to let go of whatever it is that's been holding me back from, you know, growing and evolving and being happy with, you know, my family and friends and my life and my work and so forth like that. It can be such a gratifying experience to see that, you know. And so, you know, I like to think that, you know, even though this was a great struggle for me to bring this forward, now it's like a great satisfaction to see people get on it and come back and want to get on it again and say, you know, I just felt so peaceful. I felt so connected. I just felt all the chatter and, you know, the anxiety and fear just kind of dropped to the wayside, and it just seems, or things that were bothering me. I just got done, came back from the D.C., Washington, D.C. area, where I did an energy psychology conference. And a lot of these energy psychologists were getting on the device, and this one man came forward and he says, I'm dealing with all these, you know, my spouse's ex is suing us and all this other stuff. And he just came in and he was just so mad, and he says, can you do anything for me? He says, it's so hard to let go of all this anger because it's costing us money, it's disrupting my family, it's doing so forth, and her ex-husband just won't let go of this. And so, you know, I thought, okay, so I put him on, and I did something like heart resonance, opening the heart to giving and receiving love and forgiveness, you know, because that it's a heart-centered matter. And I did some things like emotional releases and you know, and balancing his energy and just kind of letting go of, or doing divine alignment, helping him get in touch with his own inner guidance and tuning into his life path. And he got off the device after doing, he did a 20-minute session, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's really amazing. He says, I'm trying to bring up the anger, and I notice it's there, but I'm just not reacting to it. And he says, and then he'd come back later in the day, and he goes, I'm still not reacting to it. And I guess he was nervous, so the next day he made sure he did it again because he did not want it to come back. But, you know, so he noticed little things could percolate to the surface, and then just they didn't have the emotional charge. And, you know, when you can do that for a person, you know, because this is, we're in a really fear-based world right now, and people are anxious, and, you know, and, but if you can alleviate them just even a little bit, you know, I'm sure he'll go back and ruminate on it again maybe, and some of it will come back up. But, you know, for that day, we were able to help him kind of let go of it, which is, you know, pretty incredible.
Wonderful. And how has it changed you?
Well, one thing is I found out that we're all unlimited. You know, used to think, you know, maybe we were, you know, we were so finite, but I found out that we're finite beings that are infinite inside. And I also found out, I had the astounding revelation that we're all fractals of God. And, you know, that God is in every one of us, just like those fractal images that, you know, like the doll within a doll within a doll to infinity. And, you know, we live in a fractal world, in a fractal universe. Our blood, our cellular system, you know, our capillaries, they all have fractal components to it, you know, and you'll find it in all of nature. And so it was kind of an astounding thing that, you know, I started to get more into the science after all. And I'm still not saying, you know, I'm a mathematician, but, you know, I have a great respect and love for the beauty of math, because we know that when science puts things up into the universe for other civilizations to find it many light years from now or whatever, and to know something about what was going on in planet Earth, we send it up in math equations. We send it up in our periodic table of elements and kind of let them know what our world is made up of and what we've learned about fusion or the formulas or anything for that. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they speak Croatian, French, or, you know, Martian, they will understand math and what our world has discovered here on Earth. So math is the universal language. It is the blueprint of our creation, and it's pretty astounding.
Hey, Kathy, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of this you can share, but can you talk a little bit about some of the interdimensional healing workshop work that you're doing with James Jambrot?
Well, this is just beginning. We had I had gone on a sacred journey to Peru for the last year's summer solstice, which is actually their winter solstice in Peru on June 21st, so it was almost a year ago. And, you know, we were going up to some pretty high elevations there, and we had a group of about 45 people. A lot of them were healers, and a number of them were mediums. And we did a group Trinfinity 8 session. We all held hands with the crystals at one end of each of the circle. And, you know, I dialed up some stuff because some people were having altitude sickness. And so, you know, I did some things for oxygen stim and to help their system acclimate and just to be more tuned in and balanced and, you know, so forth like that. And what happened was all of a sudden all of these, you know, dead Chinese healers came into the circle. They recognized the technology and wanted to start working on people. And James started just, you know, channeling it through and working on people's bodies, as did a few of the others. And it was so strong, you could really, really, really feel it. And we started to talk about the fact of that, you know, the other side there needs healing as well. Now, of course, there were healers on the other side, but, you know, just because you pass over to the other side doesn't mean that, you know, everything has been resolved in your life. You're just on a different dimension working on other issues. And you may have some stuff with people left behind in this dimension that have been unresolved, or, you know, not working out what your contracts were together, that you had already worked this out on the other side, which you know, somebody might have to play the bad guy this time, you know, around in the equation, and someone the good guy, and what you have learned by it. And and maybe saying I'm sorry or letting go of things. So we decided it was time to put together an interdimensional healing thing, and I'm kind of saving that for some future research things and letting people know about that. But it was a concept nobody had ever tried, working with a medium who could see the dead and working with an energetic device that came from the other side. So stay tuned for that one.
Thank you. As we get ready to wind up the show, I was wondering, is there anything you'd like to share with the audience as far as what do you think it's important, what message or what one message do you want to give to people before you go off the air?
Well, you know, we're all in this together. We can only evolve as much as the next guy can. So, you know, when you think about, you know, that homeless person on the street or whatever who may seem like, you know, that they've kind of checked out or don't know, you know, they may be more evolved than us, or that person whose political beliefs or something is, you know, totally divergent from ours. Just remember, we're all kind of players playing our part, and we've decided upon that as part of our growth and learning experience. So I would say, you know, try to let go of the little things that bother you, and try to let go of the judgment aspect too. You know, nobody's perfect at that, and certainly I'm not either. You know, I'm still learning, but I find that those little things don't really get to me anymore. You know, it's there's too many important things to focus on.
Can I ask one quick question? I'd like to ask you about purchasing a Trinfinity 8 machine. Can you do that on your website? Is there training involved?
Yes, there's training involved, and usually you can get the number on the website and you can call our offices, because it's not one of those shopping cart type things. You know, it is a higher end ticket thing that mostly goes into the hands of practitioners, but we've sold many to people who, you know, have it for their own home use and maybe have given it as gifts to others, and so you know, you can call our offices. Number is listed on there under sales distributors and so forth like that. And what we do is we give free upgrades for life. The guides were very important. They said they wanted everybody to be on the same playing field as this device. As we were evolving, so was this device evolving, and that there was other incarnations of it still coming down the line. And, you know, I've had software developers say, you give away updates, you know, huge major release updates free, are you crazy? And I said, it was part of the bargain. That's, you know, why the whole price may be a little bit, you know, it's a higher ticket price, but the fact is that, you know, you get free upgrades for life. So stay tuned for what's going to be in other versions of this coming down the pike. You know, I think we've only scratched the surface of what's capable, of what, you know, what they have in store.
Wonderful.
Great. Go ahead and give out your website again.
It's www.trinfinity8.com. That's TRINFINITY and the number 8.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show this evening with us and sharing all that information. And as always, thank you for being on, Pam.
Oh, you're so welcome. I had a wonderful time. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it too.
And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about us at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com.
this but a dream?